Welcome to the OKC First Podcast. We're learning to live a simple, intentional faith together, to do no harm, do good, and stay in love with Jesus. Whoever you are and wherever you're from, you're welcome here, and we're glad you're listening. You can learn more at OKCFirst.com.
This week's scripture comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, as we hear Jesus say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." This is the word of the Lord.
And thank you, everybody. Emotional Sunday. I remember, Avarilla, how bittersweet this day was, so you did a great job with that. I also am keenly aware that Mother's Day comes with a lot of baggage for a lot of people, so as is our tradition, I would like to start actually with a word of prayer. So if you'll just join me, I'll guide us through that moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we recognize that for so many, Mother's Day is just full of joy. And we recognize at the same time, Lord, that for so many, Mother's Day comes with a particular kind of hurt. And so, God, we would ask that you would do what you do best and come alongside those folks for whom this is a difficult day. God, come alongside the people who would love to be mothers, but for one reason or another are not able to. God, come alongside those people who have suffered the loss of a mother within the last year. God, come alongside the people who did not enjoy a good relationship with mom, who continue to be marked and perhaps scarred by what was a difficult and maybe even a tragic relationship. God, we're just asking that you would do what you do and wrap your arms around the people who hurt today, even as they may be sitting beside someone who just beams with joy and pride on this particular day. And now, God, hear us as we pray, and may we hear from you as you speak to us through your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Kelly sent me a very interesting article this morning. Did you know that of all 365 days of the year, the day with the lowest crime rate is Mother's Day? It is Mother's Day. And the thinking is it's because that you've got mom surrounded by family during brunch or lunch or dinner. What I didn't realize is how much crime moms must be committing out there to be. Wow. So keep a good eye on your moms today. If you are, keep them off the streets today. Amen. All right. So you heard in Jason's passage today mention of spirit talk, spirituality. I need to confess to you, as your pastor, I struggle with spirit talk. It's hard for me. Now, I agree that we should have it. That's the reason we brought Dad here, to have these discussions about spirit and spirituality. No, it's the right discussion as long as it's had properly and faithfully and responsibly. But it is tough for me. It's difficult. And it's difficult because there are lots of strange things and videos out there of people who are somehow immersed in the spirit. I will not show you those today. It's difficult because there seem to be people who are willing to take your money and steal your faith by exploiting what I believe to be the legitimate human ache for companionship with God. I believe that to be a natural God-given ache, And it's so strong in so many of us that we are left vulnerable to the new, or to the strange, or to the dangerous, because we so desperately want to know and be known. But I need to confess this to you as your pastor. I am still learning how to have this conversation. Spirit talk still makes me nervous. I tend to be something of a skeptic and a cynic to a fault. And yet, I also need to testify to you that I have that ache to know and be known, that ache for companionship. I have compiled for you a list of the things that I think I do know about spirit and spirituality. It's a very short list. I mean, there's so much that I don't understand. So if you allow me, I would like to unleash on you the three things I think I do know about spirit and spirituality. Here's number one. Any talk of Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost can lead us astray if we don't recognize that this is, in fact, the spirit of the resurrected Jesus. This is not just any old ghost. The spirit can never be, will not ever be, other than the spirit of the resurrected Jesus. And all God's people said, you can do better. I'll give you another chance later. The spirit will not act or speak contrary to what we have heard from Jesus. And the spirit will not ask us to act or speak contrary to what we know of a loving God seen most clearly in the face of Jesus. Number two. Spirituality, this all of this spirit talk, it's about companionship on the journey, or as we have been saying this whole season, it's about walking. It's about walking with. It's about the God who walks with us. Walking with someone is good for your sense of companionship with that person. And here's the third thing. This is it. The last thing I know about the Spirit is this. My mom provided me with snapshots of the posture and the activity of the Spirit in my life. And I'll get back to her in just a second. You just heard Jason read this so well. Let's hear it again. If you love me, this is an observation. This is not conditional language, transactional language. This is an observation. Jesus says, I observe this. If you love me, you're going to be the people who keep my commandments. But that keeping my commandments is tough. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. We'll come back to that word too, who will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Okay, see, first, you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. All right, now we still need to keep the context, like the literary context in mind as we read in John 14. This is right after John 13. Jesus has just washed feet. We're still in that same room. We're still in that same ambiance. Jesus has just washed feet. And he has said this to them in chapter 13, if you remember. I give you a new commandment, and here it is, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, that's a high bar, you also should love one another. And by the way, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Anytime you read this language of commandments here, this is not Jesus beating you over the head with the Ten Commandments again. Jesus might be beating over your head with one commandment, you should love as you have been loved. It's that one. As I read other parts of Scripture, all of the law and the prophets hang on this command to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Second, when you read the words abides with you, there's a whole lot more of this in chapter 15, and will be in you. These words, while they are not unfamiliar to us, maybe like me, you aren't quite sure what they mean or what it's supposed to look like. There's lots of this kind of language in this stretch of chapters that function a little bit. The speech here from Jesus functions a little bit like a graduation or commencement speech, preparation for what all is to come next. But simply put, here's what Jesus is saying. Even after the cross, even after the resurrection, and even after the ascension, this is important, we'll still be able to walk together. And by the way, those words aren't meant just for the disciples in the room that day. Those words are also meant for you as you sit in the pews here at OKC First. The Spirit abiding with us. Us. OKC First, abiding with the Spirit of Jesus. These are words that are meant to communicate the Spirit's desire to walk with you wherever it is that you walk. And then next. That word translated in John 14, 16 as advocate, paraclete, has also in other translations been translated as comforter, which means literally, paraclete does, means literally the one called alongside. The Spirit is the one called alongside you as you walk. And this gets me back to my mom. In middle school, at the peak, at the height of my basketball powers, I was whistled for a foul. Obviously, the other side was foul baiting, amen? Playing an unethical style of basketball. I was called for a foul, and my mom, it was a sparsely attended game in middle school, so you could hear the loud voice, and my mom was typically the loudest voice in the room, and here's what she said. Honey, if that's a foul, next time get your money's worth. Oh, I get an amen there. Okay. My mom was clearly and loudly on my side. Now, that's not the only time I knew her to be on my side. In fact, she was a consistent presence in my life, one that I needed, I may not have known it at the time, but I needed for guidance, correction, encouragement, support, protection. She was the one that was coming to my defense, advocating for me because she loved me and believed so deeply in me. That was a lot of Spirit talk right there. May not have noticed it, but I want you to hear it again, and I want you to hear it as Spirit talk. A consistent presence in my life, needed for guidance, correction, encouragement, support, protection. The one who comes to your defense, the one who advocates for you because the Spirit believes so deeply in you, in me, in us. Spirit talk. Now, I'm not saying to you that my mom equals the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus, but I am saying that her presence in my life was a constant and tangible reminder. She was a window to help me better understand how the Spirit works and desires to work in me and on me. Advocate, check. Defender, check. Constant support, check. Voice of caution, cautioning me against wandering off the faithful path, check. My mom imaged and continues to image for me the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, for me and for others that we continue to hear from. And that's no small thing. And we should take very seriously today that we have two opportunities before us. First, Christian, it's always a good time to take stock of the people who have faithfully imaged God and the attributes of God in your life. That, you may not recognize it, you may not have recognized it, but if you can think of a person or people who have imaged God or the attributes of God in your life, that has been the faithful presence of the Spirit in your life. And it is always a good time for you to acknowledge the people who have imaged for you God's faithful presence in your life. people in whom you have seen steadfast love, patience, grace, forgiveness. Today is a really good day to thank God for those people, mom or somebody other than mom, who have been that faithful presence for you. And then, at the same time, you and I have to be diligent. You and I have to be diligent to do the things, to undertake the habits and the disciplines and the practices that keep us oriented to the very face of God. And for lots of different reasons. One, you and I need it. We need to be oriented to grace, the very face of God. Here's another reason, though. You just might be imaging God for somebody else. You might be the tangible presence of the Spirit of the resurrected Christ for somebody else. We've heard a lot over the last several months about the steadfast love of God, but there are people around us who will never understand it or believe it until it's been made tangible. May we, Christian, may we, you and I, by our capacity to love and forgive, make the love and the forgiveness and the very presence of God visible, tangible, accessible. Now again, I'm not sure when I hear my mom's voice, and I do at times still hear my mom's voice, cut that out, is typically what she's saying to me, like, enough. I'm not sure that my mom's voice is the voice of the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, but I am sure that the Spirit of Christ still uses my memories of my mom to teach me about faithful presence, perseverance, companionship. In other words, as hard and as confusing as all this Spirit talk can be, even there in Scripture, I, as your pastor, am here to testify that I have found these words to be true. That God has provided, like breath in our lungs, to me, a familiar presence that advocates for us, that guides, comforts, encourages, and sustains. Now, I catch glimpses of that faithful Spirit around here quite often, and today even. In fact, many of you have been, for me, tangible reminders of God's movement and activity. Movement and activity that, again, represents for me the movement and the activity of the resurrected Jesus. In your grace, I have seen divine grace. In your service, I spot the Spirit of God on the move. In your kindness, I see the very face of God. And maybe this is what Jesus is talking about when he says earlier in this very chapter, with the Spirit's help, you'll do what you've seen me do, and maybe even better, says Jesus, because I'm going to the Father. Here's what I think he means. Because there's so many more of you who'll enjoy the Spirit, this breath in your lungs, as I have it in my lungs. There's so many more of you who will be able to bounce off of so many more people. You'll be able to do even more than I've been able to do. So long as we do the things that allow us to catch glimpses of the movement and the faithful presence of God. One of the places that I hope that you catch these glimpses is around this table. So if you were helping us today, let's gather. It's important work that we do around this table because perhaps there's somebody in the room who, after not having seen nor heard from God in a long time, might today catch a glimpse of this God. Well, look at this good-looking group of people that are going to help us today. Man, hi, Kamaya. If you are visiting with us today, we are serving communion by intinction. And here's what that means. Here in a second, I will ask you to stand to your feet and exit your pew to your left and to come forward with your hands cupped to receive gifts of grace that can't be gotten any other way, gifts of grace. Now, as you approach someone holding a plate of bread, when you get close enough, the person holding that plate will take a piece and press it into your hands and say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Don't eat it just yet, but take that piece of bread and dip it into the cup. The person holding the cup will at that point say, and this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And then take and eat. And then, if you would, find a place to pray. Now, here's the thing. If you come to one of these side padded altars, we'll assume that you are there for prayer for healing, and somebody will come and pray that prayer for you. And it might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, it might be familial or relational. If you need that prayer for healing, somebody will meet you and anoint you with oil representative of the clinging companionship of the Spirit and pray that prayer for healing for you. If you come up front to one of these kneeling benches, we won't assume anything, but somebody, probably me, will come by and let you know that you are not alone as you pray. You're not alone. But you can circle right back around and sit at your pew and pray. But if you'll let me, here's what I would like for you to pray. God, help me to understand your Spirit. Help me to be able to spot your presence. Maybe I will to see you where I couldn't see you before and hear you where I couldn't hear you before. God, be present to me by the Spirit. Now, you might say to yourself, hey, I don't belong here and I can't take. Well, here's the thing. We practice an open table here, and all you need to qualify for participation in this table is a recognition that you need the grace that's on offer here today. If you recognize that you need this grace, then you are always going to be welcome each and every week around this table. That said, all are invited, but none are compelled. If you would like to sit this one out, that is perfectly fine. You sit it out. We'll offer it again next week, and maybe you'll come next week. John, can you help me to do something that would remind me that I belong? I've had trouble believing that I belong to this whole movement. Yeah, that's what these bowls of water are here for. Four in the front and one in the back. If you need to be reminded that you absolutely belong amongst the baptized, then may the chill of this water, as you just kind of dip your fingers into it, may the chill of this water remind you of the moment of your baptism. And by the way, if you've not yet been baptized, we're going to baptize all who would like to be baptized on May the 24th. Just let us know. You can put it on that friendship clipboard or let somebody know or email us. We would love to talk with you and then baptize you. It was on the night he was betrayed that our Savior took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body broken for you, and every time you eat of it, including today, remember me. And later on, he took the cup, and he held it up before them, saying, and this is my blood, the blood of a new covenant, and every time you drink of it, including today, remember me. Remember me. And now all across the sanctuary, when it's your pew's turn, if you would, stand to your feet. Exit your pew to your left and come forward to receive these gifts of God, meant for the people of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and God bless these elements and bless these moments. Amen.